listening podcast of Are You Not Entertained? I am your host, Russ, and joining me, of course, is Kent, and I have, fortunately, one more week without having to look at the thesaurus because Carrie is not with us this week. So, Kent, how you doing?
I'm vivacious and vicarious and voluptuous.
Definitely are voluptuous, sir.
Yeah!
Now, we don't have Carrie this week, so I feel that the podcast is going to be shorter because she just talks so much nonstop that...
Oh my god, if you have looked at last week's podcast when I was doing the audio, that bitch never shut the fuck up, okay?
We were on for almost 2 hours and it was, what, two and a half, almost an hour and a half of Carrie, the rest just us, so this is probably...
It became total divas all of a sudden.
It did.
It was bullshit. Yeah.
So we're going to try to keep it manly this week. It is episode 42. We are on episode 42, and it's April 19th. My goodness, where does time go? We have almost done a year's worth of podcasts.
We're almost, like, we're less than 2 months away from episode 50. We're going to hit it right around the beginning of June because of pay-per-views with Steve.
Mm-hmm.
So my least favorite month may hit our 50. That's awesome.
If we last that long, you know, this is a major production, costs a lot of money.
The sponsors sometimes get a little pissy with some of the page talk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. They didn't like it then. Well, they're not going to have much to go on today. We might throw it in once in a while. But yes, no kidding.
Just like Alberto?
Yeah.
Just likes to throw it in?
So, we're going to do our normal segments. We have something fun towards the end. But for the most part, again, if you don't know what we're all about, is we're about wrestling podcast. We talk about wrestling and all the things that kind of happen in the week. But honestly, let's face it, sometimes it's boring, so we like to spice things up.
I got to tell you something.
What?
Two things, actually. I had a dream about 3 or 4 nights ago where I was hanging out like at the WWE Hall of Fame, and somebody pissed off Rusev, and he stomped through a table, grabbed the splintered piece of wood, and started stabbing the shit out of people, and all hell broke loose. That was the gist of the dream.
Did he have a rubber mask and just show that he was Chris Benoit?
Oh, I wish.
Awesome.
But no, he just like went crazy. That was cool. And as of late, I've been dreaming a lot about hanging out with Triple H and Stephanie. I don't know why. No idea.
That does seem odd. But say, I think I had a wrestling dream not too long ago. Can't remember what it was about. I'm sure it was probably about Seth Rollins or Kurt Angle or something. But
everything that we dream about is completely straight.
Exactly.
Very straight.
Very straight.
At least I got Stephanie.
That's true.
But I never ever hit on her. Like, it's just like...
Well, you hit on her with Triple H there? Come on.
In my dream, I feel like I could definitely take him. In real life, I definitely feel like I could take him.
Oh, yeah, Triple H still was.
Pussy. All right.
All right, so now you're throwing the gauntlet with Triple H. Let's talk... Well, let's go right to our first segment, Ken.
Well, Russ, for past week, I have been getting calls, emails, death threats. Everybody wants to know, gots to know. Russ... What's your man crush of this week?
Well, I think death threats are a little far, so people, death threats, come on. Throw them Kent's way, he loves them. Man crush of the week. Guys, I'll be honest with you. This week, it was almost going to be Braun again. I'm not going to lie, but he's already been picked this week, or this year. But Braun has just been on fire. We'll talk about him later. No, my man crush of the week is the other surprise that I got on SmackDown. And it's Jinder Mahal. You do not hinder Jinder. And I'm not going to, because my goodness, that man has gotten himself ripped. I mean ripped. It doesn't look like steroid ripped either. It looks like he's actually gone to the gym and put in the work. So kudos to that man. So anybody who thinks he's on steroids is crazy, because he hasn't bulked up. He's just muscular.
He's very lean. Like he's gone on record numerous times saying nobody diets as hard as he has been lately.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, he was told, hey, you get yourself in better shape, maybe we give you a push, and he may have taken that to heart.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody like Cesaro should do the same. Imagine if that man actually tried to hit the gym, how ridiculous
he
could be.
He looks to me like he's in shape, Cesaro.
He's in shape. I'm just saying, could you imagine if he actually 100% dedicated himself? Like, he's already ridiculously strong. Imagine if he dedicated himself for 6 months.
He'd be crazy. But then he would, I guess would the work pay off? Would Vince give him a chance?
No.
Exactly. So
that glass ceiling's very hard glass.
Yes. No matter how strong Cesaro is, he ain't breaking through that one with a Superman punch or whatever. Or the Euro uppercut. Sorry. Now, back to gender. I mean, that guy's put in the time, and then he was in a six-pack challenge this SmackDown. I'm going to tell you right now, what a showcase for the six guys.
All right, so when you saw who was in there, like, I saw it Monday, I saw who was going to be in it, and I was like, oh, wow, great, you're just going to shit in our mouths, that's great, thanks, guys.
Yep.
I was so underwhelmed by this, and then I was watching it, and God damn it, SmackDown somehow just made gold out of three good wrestlers and Mojo.
Yeah, I mean, they did everything right. It was a great showcase for me. And like, I know Jinder's good because he was pushed pretty hard in NXT. So I always had a thought feeling like Jinder was good, not great.
When was he pushed in NXT?
Didn't he have the, wasn't he in the main title event against Seth for the first NXT title?
I don't know. I didn't watch it back then.
Yeah, me either. I just remember something Seth said that before he was fighting Jinder. He says, "Hey, you don't mess with Jinder. You don't hinder Jinder."
I just want to point out, of the original 3MB, did you really in any circumstance ever say, you know what? Jinder's going to get the push, not Drew McIntyre, not Heath Slater, but Jinder Mahal's going to get the push. Ever.
No, but with all three of them, I honestly never thought anything was happening. Look, they're all back.
Yeah, they're all back. This is great.
Yeah. And they're doing things, too. It's not like they're all three of them are back and just, like, they're doing what they were doing before. Nothing. I mean, Slater's getting a mini push. Looks like they're turning him kind of heelish, it looks like. Maybe to go against the face Hardys. Kind of.
Well, they need heel tag teams on Raw.
Oh, they desperately do.
So, I mean, Rhino can easily flip the switch.
Yep. I think they'd be great as heels. But back to Drew's in NXT. He'll get a mini push in there, at least. I don't know about
Drew. I've said it before on here. I'll say it again. That guy has improved so much since he left WWE.
Which is good. Glad it lit his fire under his ass.
It certainly did, yeah.
But Jinder, like, now getting back to Jinder, I mean, put himself to the... He pushed himself, too. Let's face it. And the match he was in, you're right. Look at those matches. And they are... Okay, Luke, I felt bad for Luke. When you first told me to watch the six-pack, because I hadn't seen it yet, and you told me to watch it, I saw it. I was like, okay, I feel bad for Luke. This guy's in there with a bunch of scrubs. Okay, Dolph, okay, I feel bad for Dolph. And the rest of them, like, meh. I know they're trying to push Mojo, so I honestly thought it was going to be Mojo or something won this thing.
All right, so Mojo was by far the most underwhelming person in that whole match.
Oh, absolutely. Even Rowan was really good, impressive.
Rowan put in some work, yeah. Sammy didn't really show me much.
No,
I thought Sammy would do a little more, but I think it was the wrong group of guys for him.
Yeah, wrong group of guys. But Sammy, he did good. It wasn't like he was bad in the match. It wasn't like, oh my god, Sammy. He's just not. You're right. He wasn't his normal Sammy self. I know. I might have been the guys didn't have the chemistry.
Yeah, I mean. Dolph didn't get to showcase himself, yet Dolph showcased how much he is willing to take because he took, I think, the biggest hits from damn near everybody in that match.
He bumped. He bumped like crazy. He showed he could bump because he took a ton of hits. And like I said, Luke looked great.
Luke was going to get it. I really thought it was going to happen.
No, I knew it. There was no way. Once I saw him come out, I was like, oh, man, he's losing to these guys. Hope he doesn't get the...
Yeah, but who did you think was going to win, Mr. Know-It-All?
Because
there's no way in fuck you called Jinder.
No. Mojo. I thought Mojo.
Oh, God. Mojo versus Randy?
Because I thought this was like a pit stop. I didn't even think this was going to go to, what is it, Backlash?
I don't know. I don't think it's going to go to the next pay-per-view.
Right, I don't think so either. So I just thought this was a holding point.
It pretty much is. I think it was just a way to see how Jinder reacts.
Reaction to the Jinder?
Because he got booed pretty well. Like, I was impressed.
Yeah. Especially after talking.
Still, Luke would have been the right choice because we've seen Luke versus Randy, and that was one of the best matches of the year we've seen. Mm. But I think they're going to hold. I think they're just really testing the water with Jinder. And I can't complain about it. No. My biggest complaint, Rowan needs new theme song. Like,
yeah,
nobody else needs it more.
It's like a baby, like.
It's so weird.
Yeah,
it's weird. I don't know. Luke's is good, even. Like, Luke's grew on me.
Better beginning. Like, his beginning is meh. His middle and end are good. He needs a better beginning. But, like, I don't know. Just. He did really well. So, he's definitely my man crush of the week. Because he's been putting in the work. He won a number one contendership. And when am I ever going to be able to say Jinder Mahal is a man crush?
Plus, I mean, the Bollywood boys, who I really couldn't stand in 205, they wrestled the very first match in 205 Live history and have maybe wrestled one match since then.
Or at least that we've seen.
I've seen pretty much every episode of 205, though.
I'm in dark matches.
Oh, dark matches, yeah, I'm sure they've participated. And they participated in NXT a couple times.
Yep.
But, wow, at first I actually thought it was CN. Because they kind of look a little bit like CN, but I was like, wait, there's no two CNs.
Well, I thought it, to be honest, I thought it was Primo and Epico at first, but because I couldn't really see it because they're so fast. But I was like, wow, they got really short, and I didn't realize it's not them.
Plus, they grew out their hair a little bit.
Yes.
But Andrade CN has almost the same hairstyle. That's what threw me off.
Right.
So, all in all, I was impressed.
Yeah, it was a good match. I'll be honest with you. It was probably one of the... There were several good matches this week. So we can't complain about match quality. I'll just say it was one of the better ones, and it surprised me. I'd almost put it as the best just because of the surprises in it. Just because who's in it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't expect them to give you these top quality matches.
I'm torn because Raw also had a surprise match that we're going to get to. Like, this week, both shows gave us a really good surprise matchup that I had zero interest going into it. So, it's tough. But it was the best SmackDown match. And nothing against the AJ versus Corbin match, but this was just better. That's all. It should have main evented. Why is a match for the number one contender not the main event? That's what confuses me. No, we don't know. We know that if KO loses to Jericho, Jericho joins SmackDown. Nothing has been said in regards to Randy versus Bray, which concerns the shit on me because Raw's stacked with upper card guys, and SmackDown technically has a great upper card when everybody's there and healthy. It's going to stay. Basically, they're telling us in no uncertain terms, Bray, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
Like, they should really say whoever wins. If Bray wins, he comes back to SmackDown. But then when it made no sense for Bray to get traded. Yeah, absolutely. It was either, well, yeah, because Dean and KO kind of leveled each other out, so Bray, yeah.
Bray,
the thing with AJ is that I don't ever really want to see him on Raw now. I kind of like knowing that he's synonymous with SmackDown for a long time. I don't know. He's just so goddamn good.
Talking about it earlier, I mean, you can name five. It was hard to even name five people who are just the best, like in-ring talent.
Right. If we're going just by in-ring talent, the list of people who are on or possibly above AJ's level is so freaking small. Kurt Angle is on that level.
Yep.
Shawn Michaels probably is slightly above because he did it for longer. But I mean AJ could go for another 10 years. We don't know.
Exactly. He's still young enough where he can go.
Yeah.
Still, I don't know, he hasn't shown a I've not seen a bad match out of him.
No. Once again, it's very similar to Shawn Michaels, because even up to Shawn Michaels' freaking retirement match, that dude didn't have shit matches.
No.
The only bad match I can ever think of, which was only bad to me, was the Iron Man match with Bret, because it bored the piss out of me.
Yeah.
But they did go 60 minutes.
Yeah. That's the thing. Trying to think, because like I brought up Austin before Stone Cold, because once he became Stone Cold, he became a ticket puncher. Austin's had really, really good technical matches, but he had so many stinkers involved that we can't put him up to that level. Same thing with I almost want to say same thing with Eddie. Eddie Guerrero was great in the ring, and when he had matches, they were on fire. But he had some real.
When Eddie was having his demons, he wasn't always 100% there. That was the one issue with Eddie. Versus somebody like Benoit. Benoit belongs on the list because that dude did not take a freaking night off.
No, and that would be what
happened. Right. And then, see, the other one... Right. The hard one for me is RVD, because at RVD's pinnacle, when he was decimating ECW, I don't think there was an active wrestler alive that was doing what he was doing or outperforming him at all.
Right.
There wasn't.
And so everybody knows the criteria that we laid out for this was, no matter who you go against, your match is going to be an excellent caliber. So, for example, I'll even put AJ, just for example, AJ versus what's his name there? Carmella's bitch.
Oh, Ellsworth.
He made him look good in the ring. I mean, he even saved his life, because Ellsworth couldn't take the Styles clash.
Yeah.
He saved his life by dropping it improperly.
I want to go with, I'm pretty sure it was Balls Mahoney versus RVD, opened up an ECW pay-per-view. It wasn't, advertised or anything. It was just, hey, let's just throw out this random match. Let's see what happens. And, I don't know, you remember Balls Mahoney a little bit. He wasn't the most physically gifted guy. He was entertaining, but he wasn't that great in ring.
Right.
And it was still one of the top two or three matches of the night. That's the ability AJ has.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's great. It's not many people we could say. And we're talking top-line guys. I'm a Seth guy, but Seth has laid some stinkers. If he doesn't have talent across from him, he can't play the game. AJ can literally have me across from him, and he'll still have a great match. As long as he can do it.
CM Punk was in that discussion for a chunk of his career, and then there was the chunk of career where he was like, I'm kind of just done and worn out. Daniel Bryan, once he finally clicked, there was the indies where Daniel Bryan could do it. But then in WWE, it took a while for it to click.
His WWE career in the beginning was meh at best, and that's where he falls apart. I mean, AJ just came to WWE right out of the gate, and AJ's always been great. Everything I've ever seen of his has been phenomenal.
I'll tell you, there was a couple of guys in WCW that, I mean, aren't on AJ's level, but I want to give props to guys like DDP and Sting, both those guys had really good matches. Like, Sting went against some of the shittiest, Sting versus freaking Sid, you know?
You know why you have to pick, Sting or Ric Flair or people like that? You have to involve them, because even after their prime, you can't count those against them. Sting, once he started getting towards the end of his WCW career, started to lose his prime. But he was still doing great matches against some of the worst guys possible.
And then, in TNA, he kind of rejuvenated himself.
Yeah.
Him versus AJ was actually some really good stuff. And him versus Kurt. So, Sting had a really good career. And Flair, my God, there's so much save, you know? And he's still got 50 to work with.
Yeah, he's still out. And he's still way beyond everybody else. So, yeah, I think he goes to that. We do that as a podcast. Just, different categories, who we put in our top five. We should think about that for a little bit.
All right, that sounds good. That should probably be a good one to do when Carrie's not around, since she doesn't have the history that we have, I guess, all as right. far as knowledge.
Speaking of Carrie not being here, great
thank you.
What is the top news that Carrie would be telling us about now?
Well, unlike Carrie, I have a few stories that I just kind of want to get out there because this has been kind of a busy week. So, let me pull up my info. I want to start off by saying, now they mentioned on SmackDown, I don't believe it was mentioned on Raw, I think he died that day,
yeah.
Rosie
yeah.
died. I mean, he tag teamed with Umaga
right,
in 3 minute warning. Yeah, yeah. Back when back when Umaga was Jamal and Rosie was Rosie, and then Rosie teamed up with Hurricane for a while in the superhero gimmick.
Oh, right.
You know, that family, people die young, except for the freaking old guy. Like Afa is still alive somehow, and he's like 80 something. But like everybody else. Or maybe everybody's contributing to The Rock in some weird way. I don't know. But, you know, that's just a bummer because I liked Rosie. I liked Umaga better, but Rosie was competent at what he did.
I like that.
Yeah. Another not as sad note, but still sad, the Revival's Dash Wilder. He suffered an NXT injury over the weekend because he should still be on NXT. So he's... They're pretty much screwed for the next 8 weeks. So they're not going to be going hard for the next 8 weeks. And that probably bums me out more than anybody here on the podcast.
I was I forgot all about it. I read about it on Sunday that he got injured. And I was like, oh, man, what is up with NXT guys you're super excited about getting injured almost immediately after they debut? Happened
down yeah. And more tag team news. It sounds like WWE is coming close to an agreement with Anthem over the Broken Hardy gimmicks. So once that deal is done, expect us to be bored out of our minds with Obsolete and Delete.
Well,
yay,
yay. It's kind of funny because you're limiting Matt's talk. I mean, it's a little bit. But
yeah, because he doesn't want to break out into the character. I've noticed this.
Wants to break out into the character. You can tell.
The worst part is, as much as I didn't care for the Broken thing, right now, the Hardys, as they are boring as fuck. At least with the Broken, maybe they can do something fun. I don't know, but right now, the Hardys are hard to watch. So.
They can buy on their nostalgia.
It's a sheer nostalgia run. I'll tell you what this reminds me of. Do you remember when the Universal Championship first, or Undisputed Championship first came into play, and like it switched over from, I don't know, I think it was Jericho to probably like Triple H to Undertaker, and Hogan had it at one point, and this was right at the very end of Hogan's in-ring run, and he wasn't a good in-ring guy, but he held it for a month, and he did a good job with it, like... Because of it was the nostalgia, but he could still do enough moves to make it kind of semi-credible.
Right.
That's, I mean, these guys can still really wrestle at an above-average rate. I just don't know what else they did reinvent themselves, and that's something a lot of people don't do
right.
at that particular age.
And I think what with the reinvention, it kind of reinvigorated.
Absolutely.
Even though they're back to that old gimmick, and it's a terrible gimmick, it can't last.
I would hope not.
The Hardy Boys.
Yeah. One last piece of info
okay.
That I'm really excited about, something that I've been hoping for the past month or two, it sounds like Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis are headed to the WWE very soon, and if they do, they might jump right to SmackDown, no NXT for them. Which
okay. Could you elaborate who they are?
All right, so Maria is Maria from WWE from like 8 years ago.
Okay.
She did Playboy. She is hot as hell,
okay.
And you can't teach that.
You certainly cannot teach that.
So everybody who's listening right now, pause this podcast, go Google, type in Maria Kanellis Playboy, which Russ is doing right now. It's a K-A, it's like the, it's Kane and then L-L-I-S.
All right, hold on.
We're holding on the podcast so Russ can look up a little porn. Good for us.
Marie?
Where's Carrie for this?
Like, how you spell Marie?
M-R-I-E? Maria?
M-A-R-I-E.
M-A-R-I-A.
Oh. Wow, my computer's running. Alright, K. Oh, look at that. She came up as a suggestive.
There you go. Now go look at her titties. I still feel we'd have this exact same conversation only with Carrie just like rolling her eyes at us.
Rolling her eyes or laughing This is something big different. The only difference is you could be talking to Carrie where I could be just sitting here looking. So, you know, it's give and take on this one.
Oh, God, yeah.
All right, come on, images.
And Mike, her husband, he's actually a... He will fit in. He's kind of like a Ms. Light. Yeah, I fucking told you so. I think I got safe settings going on here because I'm not seeing any tits.
Me either. God. I'll say safe search. Yeah, my safe search is on. Get out of here, safe search. What the hell
get
you?
Out of here, safe search.
Filter.
We don't take kindly. We don't take kindly to you taking kindly.
Oh, no, I did filter it out. No, now it's not filtered. All right. I still don't see it.
This is really what we're doing, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
This is great.
I'm not joking. We're looking at boobs. She is hot. Well, now it's my goal. I want to see those boobs. She is hot.
I wonder how many female listeners we have.
Well, Carrie, so she's hearing this and going, why? Oh, man. All right. I will continue the search, but let's keep on talking. So they're definitely, you think they're going to definitely go to SmackDown. Now, what about the guy?
Okay, so, like I said, Mike is similar to Miz. He's not as, I don't want to use the term flamboyant, but Miz has a presence unlike anybody else.
Right.
And Mike has a pretty good presence. The thing is that his chemistry with Maria, Maria wasn't, she was okay in WWE back in the day, but now she's really gotten good on the mic. So those two together, I don't know. You know how kind of like Maurice has brought out a little difference in Miz?
Yeah, absolutely.
Same idea here. So I think the fans will be pleasantly surprised. I could even see him being a U.S. champion down the road, honestly.
That's good. But do you think he'll be anything more than the mid-carder, though?
He has all the potential to be, but my guess is going to be no. Not with AJ, Shinsuke, Cena, Randy, and Corbin. I just don't see it. I think it's going to be mid-card for a long while, if not for life. I mean, if Rusev can't break the glass ceiling, and he probably has a lot more things going for him, including a hotter chick, he has a better look. If he can't get it, I don't think Mike will, but you know, you can carve a really good career in the mid card if you play your cards right.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that's taken for granted. Mid card is not a bad thing. You don't always have to be there's it's so stacked top right now, a great mid carder could be remembered.
I think that might be what they're going to do with Kevin Owens. I don't think we're going to see Kevin Owens main eventing a ton. I think we're going to see this US championship whatever, you know, like the Cena thing. Why not? Like, I'd rather see the open challenge thing than to have no real feuds.
Right, true. And I'll be honest with you, I really want Jericho to lose, because I want to see AJ versus KO.
Absolutely.
That will be main event. Like, there's nothing on... There's almost nothing on Raw, because Raw. There's almost nothing on Raw for that pay-per-view that's coming up. That makes me go, holy crap, I need to see this match. But KO versus AJ on Backlash? Yeah, I'm already signed up for that match.
Absolutely. So, I do have one last... I lied. I have one last piece of news, and this is going to kind of transition really well.
Okay, good.
According to a guy who gets his shit wrong all the time, Dave Meltzer,
Dave Meltzer.
I don't understand why people still give this guy credibility, but according to him, Baron Corbin is being groomed for a significant push later this year. Meltzer went on to add that Corbin and Braun Strowman are the two guys who have been singled out as receiving pushes, and in fact, Corbin was earmarked for an even bigger push than Strowman. And we're seeing what's going on with Strowman. We're also seeing how SmackDown is incredibly light on top-level heels. I think Corbin's getting that by late summer, early fall. I think he's going to go on a world title run because it's all set up for him to have a run and face a lot of big-name faces, oh, right?
Especially like him and AJ, they're teasing the hell out of a match between those two.
A proper match because they haven't...
Right.
And him and Randy, like... They've had that one match, and then Dean interrupted.
Yep.
So that's a good feud. Cena versus Corbin is a match I will gladly pay money for.
Absolutely. If Cena can really do wonders for Corbin, especially if you take the pin from him.
If Cena wants a guy to get over, Cena can make a guy. That's the something that Cena has, and I hope. I think he is going to transition into that role. He clearly wanted to make AJ Styles. He clearly wanted to make Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
He clearly didn't give a fuck about Rusev or Bray Wyatt. So, hopefully he does care about Corbin, because Corbin is one of the future building blocks that, you know, in 5 years, he's going to still be main eventing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he fits the bill. He's doing everything he should. He puts on entertaining matches when he's told to. In fact, when was the last time we really saw him in a bad match?
I would say WrestleMania was a mediocre, but it's
fault?
Not his fault.
Exactly.
No.
I don't think we can really blame him. That's the last time we. Okay, so take that out. When was the last time he was in a really bad match?
2016 at some point.
Yeah.
He's clearly. Alright, so here's the difference between him and Braun. Braun, I think, had the talent all along, and they're finally saying, hey, Braun, go show off your athletic stuff,
yes.
Right? Baron, they're like, they're trying to make him into that big, badass heel wrestler, a traditional role, and Baron is just hitting gold with it. Like, he doesn't wrestle an unsafe style. He can wrestle this style, much like The Miz. The Miz wrestles a safe style.
Yep.
There's nothing Baron does that's really hurtful for him.
No, what I like about him, though, is he uses the ring to his advantage. A lot of guys don't do that a lot. Like, that slide out, slide in, that's a, and it's a good move. It just looks good, and it's fantastic the way he does it, because he slides out the one side, quickly comes in, and while his opponent is just down and looking the other direction, trying to turn around. So he's back in the ring before they even are ready to prepare. Granted, I know it's all played out. By the way, can we talk about that real quick afterwards?
Sure.
The people's posts that you found that really make us all horrible.
Yeah. Another good thing I gotta say for Baron, more than most new guys, I don't necessarily know if the wrestlers themselves or the writers or whoever, somebody's gotta be commended for coming up with moves that are easily reversible. All of Baron's big moves can be reversed, and that always adds to a wrestler being better. Like, sometimes there are wrestlers that just have these moves that you just can't get out of,
right.
And it kind of makes it a little bland, but now you take AJ Styles, everything he does can be reversed.
Yep.
And then it leads to great things. You can't really reverse it, no. Sometimes you can kind of slip your arms through and do like a roll-up type thing. It's
hard.
Yeah.
That's about the only thing he has that's not reversible. Everything else, you're right, someone can get out of it quickly and make something of it. You know what's got that kind of surprisingly well, too? Randy.
Hmm.
Almost everything of his is almost reversible.
Yeah. I mean, everything of Cena's is reversible. He just don't let people reverse.
Right.
I mean, shit, look at Taker. Think about every one of Taker's finishers. The submissions, the last ride, the tombstone, the choke slam. Every single Hell's Gate. Everything was reversible, and that's what made him so great. Shawn Michaels, once again, same thing. Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle didn't do a single move that wasn't reversible.
Right, yeah. Well, no. Well, yeah, I guess it is reversible. I was going to say the Moonstar. You know, where does that flip. The moon. It's reversed.
Yeah.
As long as you get out of the way, that's a reverse. So.
Right. Whereas you get some guys that Braun's going to have moves that he's going to have to take a lot harder, and I feel that a guy that size, I don't know if he's going to be able to stay healthy. I think he's going to suffer a few injuries throughout his career that's going to take him out for a bit, because he's adding a lot of high-flying stuff, which I love.
Yes, especially for his size.
But he's not Luke Harper, and Luke Harper has a better body to do that stuff. I'm a little worried. Braun, that's a lot of extra mass to be landing hard like that.
That's true. And let's bring Braun right into it right now. That's the one thing I'm so surprised with. He does better with bigger guys. Like, I've seen the best I've ever seen Big Show when he fights against Braun.
I haven't seen Big Show this entertaining since he was feuding with Kurt and Brock, you know, like 12, 15 years ago.
Yeah, and that's just it. Their two matches that they've had, yes, okay, the reason Braun Big Show this time around wasn't as special, because the first time you saw it, you're like, holy crap, that's Braun Strowman. And
right.
This time around, we expected it.
We did, but they still added some nice touches.
They still delivered. I was going to say, they still delivered. It was really good. Now, speaking of Braun, since WrestleMania, that man has been everything you want from a wrestler.
He's everything that I wanted because of the weeks I was calling him a big bitch. This is what I wanted out of him.
Yes, it's been great. This is fantastic. Nothing. I like I said, I almost made Braun my because it was almost unprecedented. There was nothing going on that was so great, and then Braun delivered twice in 2 weeks. When he just comes out, when they start up with him coming out, carrying Sin Cara like he's a piece of garbage. Roman Reigns is garbage. Now you're garbage too.
It's Kalisto, Ross. Get it right.
Sorry, you're right.
Get your luchadors right.
Oh my god. That was so funny.
Come on, plus Rhino just throwing his cheese and crackers in the air cracks me up so much, because Rhino's so fucking funny. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. They're doing everything right with Braun, and I feel either really bad for him or they're going to change their mind. They have no option. There's no middle ground for them. He's either going to change people's minds and make a great, great run, or I feel really bad for him because they're setting him up to fail so hardcore.
They need to say, fuck this Roman Reigns push, fuck Lesnar, Braun's our guy for the future right now.
Braun should be champion by the end of June, and give him a run, honestly, for at least 4 or 5 months. Hell, give him the Brock run that they're supposedly giving, because he can legitimately work it for at least a year till WrestleMania, and then have Roman take it there. I'm fine with Roman taking it there from Braun.
Oh yeah, I'm absolutely on board with that. Right now is the time to strike, because if they have Braun job to Roman and Brock, they've really wasted a once in a lifetime type of guy who is that strong, that agile. Like, he's a lot of what Brock what made Brock so special was that he was so strong and athletic and fat. Like, it was incredible. Yeah. Well, that's what they have right now. Or we can go with wet hair.
Right. Well, that's the problem. That's what I see. I fear it, because if he loses to Brock and then he loses to Roman, he's got nothing. And he is so white hot. I was going to say baby face, but he is getting cheered. They did a good job with Big Show. I think it was a smart idea if they wanted to go him back down a little bit, bring back Big Show, but he was still getting popped, even against Big Show.
All right, so that's a whole other issue. Right now, would you keep Braun? You have to keep Braun a heel, right?
Oh,
like if you keep him heel, can you keep Roman face, or do you? No, you can't have two badasses like that.
They can. If they did it right, they could have two badasses. Roman needs to respond like Braun would respond. That's the only way we're ever going to get anything out of this. And it's not going to happen.
I'm telling you, I could see a double switch. I think the fans are receptive enough to Braun right now. Braun doesn't have to change what he's doing.
No, that's just it. Don't change what he's doing. He's awesome.
just go the Stone Cold route, and the fact that Stone Cold didn't change what he was doing. Nope. He kept doing it, but he just kept getting more cheers. Exactly. That's all.
That's what they're doing. Just... That's what's wrong right now. And let's bring up the topic of those stupid idiots that we found on, what was it, Facebook or Twitter?
That was actually from WWE's main website, and it was the comment section. I believe it was through their Facebook or Twitter feeds. I can't remember which. But my mind was just fucking blown because...
Let's give them the background. What happened here? Exactly what happened.
Okay. Alright, so for the blog every week, I go to WWE.com and I get pictures for the blog. And I saw...
Where is that blog, Kent, by the way?
I'm not Carrie, you pimp.
I'm sorry. It's at 9deuce.com/wrestling, Kent. You were wrong.
There you go. The only thing I'm going to pimp out is if you want to send your death threats to me, it's Kent at 9deuce.com.
Because Kent loves death threats. All right.
So, yeah, I was at this article about the Braun and Roman beatdown that was great from, you know, the previous week.
Yep.
And I happened to scroll down to the comment section, and my God, were the freaking people just... This is why I'm ashamed to be a wrestling fan so much.
Yeah, it's so... embarrassing. Okay, listen. I know wrestling's fake. I don't care that it's fake. I understand that the two people in the ring could be the best of friends in the back. I don't care. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here for the athleticism, watching the sweaty men fight each other, rolling around. I meant the stories and the athleticism. That's what I meant, not the sweaty men.
Go on.
So,
I got them up if you want me to read them.
Yeah, I do, in a second. So, I understand it's fake, but these people give us a bad name. Kent, just give us what they said in the comments.
All right. So, I'm not going to give names, but this female, I think it's a female. Fuck, that's a weird name. I am ashamed of the crowd the moment Braun, spelled B-R-A-W-N, attacked Reigns. They were chanting, "Thank you, Strowman, and you deserve it." Seriously, does Reigns deserve this? Get well soon, Roman. Hashtag Roman Empire. And the response was, "I agree with you. They are bullying Roman. This needs to stop. I'm getting to the point where it's getting hard to watch." Both of these were females. Next up, another female, because, well, this is just fun to pick on females.
Go on.
Vivian says, "I am agreeing with everyone that says Strowman should be fired. Him beating and throwing Roman Reigns around was uncalled for. I really hated seeing Roman being attacked like that. Get well soon, Roman. My thoughts and prayers are with you and your family." Yeah. Not to be outdone, we have another female. Why is this all females?
I thought there was a guy in there somewhere.
All right, so Karen writes, "It's storyline. There was no one or a dummy on the stretcher that went off the dock. You can tell by the camera angles that they wouldn't shoot from. And the ambulance thing. The cameraman followed Braun around to the side. That's when they replaced Roman with the dummy. It's staged." To which William replies, "No. That was real. That was not a stuntman. That was really Roman." So, and I have one more. Yeah. And we're going to start off once again with a female. God damn it. Some kind of punishment should be given to him or suspension, whether scripted or not. Seriously, yes. She wrote whether scripted or not, but this guy... that was uncalled for. Didn't say uncalled. Uncalled for. Trying to end a man's career. Kurt... do something about this, get well soon, Roman, and come back and kick his ass with two Z's. It's your yard now. The Undertaker passed the torch. Like, this bitch can't even use an ED at the end of her words. So then we get a response from Christian. First off, he doesn't deserve the touch. What the touch? Doesn't even say torch. First off, he doesn't deserve the touch. That's gold unto itself if it just stopped right there. Second, this is clearly scripted. There was a dummy on the stretcher. Proof. Look at the arms when it's in camera, no tattoos on it. At best, he is a bit dizzy. At worst, a bruise. He is fine. To which another female named Ruth responds to Christian says, How do you know that it was a dummy on the stretcher? That was uncalled for what he did to Roman, all in caps. Seriously, people, if you're going to be this fucking dumb, just shut up. Do not post. You're ruining it for everybody.
Okay, seriously, now, what are these, like, 7 or 8 year old kids, maybe? That's the only explanation?
No, these are like, looking at their profile pictures, these are grown-ass adults, most of them in their 30s or 40s.
Okay, and that's why I don't understand. These people give us a terrible, terrible name. Okay, first of all, let's just clear the air. If this was real, or even if it was scripted and uncalled for.
Uncalled for.
Uncalled for, sorry, you're right, I'm sorry. Uncalled for. What am I doing? Braun Strowman would be arrested immediately, or possibly he would have been shot if he did any of those things.
But, Ross, wouldn't Kurt just suspend him? Because Kurt has magical powers?
Powers, exactly, that he clearly has. What is wrong with people? Like, even the person who said it was scripted, it's uncalled for. You idiot. It's scripted. The whole thing was staged. If you think Braun Strowman can actually lift an ambulance by himself, you're insane. Okay? At best, he could possibly lift it a half a foot.
This is why I really want to run for president and kill off 10% of the United States population.
Anybody who thinks wrestling is real in any aspect.
Die. Just die. Yeah. Just die. Okay. Kill yourselves.
Listen, we're wrestling fans. We love it. I understand you can get injured because the moves are real. But any storyline is more than likely 999% false. It's just a story.
Not Edge Lead and Matt Hardy.
Well, what was done in WWE was false, but the story behind it was real, yes.
So next week I'm going to get some hate mail from somebody who's like, my daughter committed suicide because you told her to. I find it very uncalled for.
You should get suspended from your podcast.
You should be fired from Are You Not Entertained?
I'm sorry. I said suspended. I meant to say you should be suspended from
God. How are people so fucking dense? Like, sir... All right, you and I, we've been friends long enough, so we've been through pre-internet and internet. I don't text or message things that are, you know, really, like, there might be a typo here and there,
right.
But for the love of God, have a little pride and dignity in what you're doing. Fuck, man, just, people, when you type like a retard, the world sees you as a retard. Okay, just letting you know, when you replace the word you with the letter U, you know what's going through my mind? Jackass.
Uneducated, I was going to say, but okay. When I type in text, and that's why it takes me so long, if you look at all my text, I rarely use short abbreviations, except for maybe LOL, because that's such a standard one, a few other ones. But for the most part, I type out my words, and even if I'm not sure how to spell it, you know what? It's funny, because this thing right here that Ken can see in my hand, which is a phone, has autocorrect. And 9 times out of 10, it's usually right. Sometimes it'll throw you a wrong one here and there, but...
Right, like, the device does it for you. It does the job for you. All you have to do is not be so lazy and to not just... Just fuck!
But people who also think there's some real aspect to wrestling at all are idiots. The only thing that's real is the possibility of injury because the stunts. Alright, people? We understand that. Don't make us look bad. Because then people ask me, no wrestling's fake. You give them credence!
Yeah, for every person that says, but you know wrestling is fake, I want to backhand them as hard as I can.
Yeah.
Because, but like you said, though, all of a sudden, these assholes are giving them free will to say that because...
We look like
not
idiots.
Everybody's aware.
Right. We look like idiots. So, please, a call out to every wrestling fan. We know it's fake. Okay, it's completely fake. It doesn't mean you can't love it. Because obviously we love it. It's just, don't fall for the storyline. Trust me, Braun wouldn't have been walking around with a Kalisto throwing it away this week. If he did that last week, he'd be a criminal this week.
Russ, as a kid watching wrestling, did you ever find any one thing real? Because I did find one thing a little concerning.
When I was a kid, I still wasn't sure, because back then it was still a little bit of a secrecy. So we have some fairness when we were younger. It was still a secrecy. When Brutus the Barber Beefcake. I don't know who went through the glass plate at his shop.
Marty Jannetty.
Marty, okay. I wasn't sure who went through it. But when I saw that, I thought for sure that Marty was possibly either dead or really badly injured, and I couldn't believe that they would do that to him. That was one of the only things I ever remember taking out and being like, holy crap, this is real, what do they do? Oh, there's one other. When Hogan and Macho Man were doing the tower, whatever. I don't remember who they're fighting, but Elizabeth got injured and Randy left.
It was against the Twin Towers, yeah, his boss man and Akeem.
Yes. And Randy left him. I couldn't believe he left his partner to be destroyed.
Because the backstage segment that they shot was so realistic at the time. It was really well done. I'll give two examples. Undertaker putting Ultimate Warrior in the airtight coffin. I was sitting there like, what? Why'd they do? And like, they brought on so many people from backstage that you never see. I was like, oh my god, what? Like, I was so confused. My mom's like, it's fake. I was like, okay. So I totally got it after, like, she said it was fake. And the other example I want to give is when Earthquake tied Jake the Snake to the ropes and then squished his snake, Damien.
That's when I started to realize wrestling was fake. That's when I realized it. Right there.
You're right. Because after a while, you're just like, wait, they wouldn't be allowing this. Yeah. So stop it.
Yeah. That's one of my first memories of saying, I think wrestling's fake. Because I remember him doing that. I was like, that's really cruel and very possibly illegal. Because I was getting at that point where I was just starting to understand what, you know, legality stuff. What were we, like, maybe 12 at that point?
We'd probably be about 10 or 11, okay. Yeah.
11 or 12, that's what I thought. So I was like, that seems really fake. Oh, wrestling fake. So when I was 12.
So when we're that age, we're figuring this out. We're piecing it together. And now there's 30 and 40 year olds.
Nobody had to tell me. I
Right, because you were like, Earthquake's probably going to go to jail, right? No, he's not going to. Nobody's stopping this. Okay, nope, cool.
Okay, something's wrong with wrestling. The other time I was almost 100% sure it was fake, when Kane was in the coffin of Katie Vick, banging the brains out of her. That's when I started to think, wrestling doesn't seem real right now. That doesn't even look like Kane.
Right. But I will tell you, though, there was a moment around that time when wrestling became real for me, for a moment. When Triple H kidnapped Stephanie McMahon and got married, and he said, I do, and they got married, I was like, holy shit, wrestling's real again. Yep. It's great. Yep.
They have been married ever since, so congratulations.
Good for him. Like, seriously, this makes me want to go out, kidnap a hot chick, go through a drive-thru wedding, and just see what happens. Yeah. Like, that's what wrestling's taught me.
Oh, man, that was good. I didn't even think that was going to happen today. Wow. Jeez Louise. Okay.
That was a good tangent. We needed that.
Yeah, we definitely needed that. Oh, man. I wish Carrie was here. I could have gotten her take off it, too, because she's fresher to wrestling. She's always known it's fake. So.
So we think.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Did we hit? Oh, wow, we hit everything. Oh, no, wait. Ken, tell me. What is grinding your gears?
So let me tell you something, brother. This is what's really grinding my fucking gears this week. The tag team divisions are so fucked. Like, we just had a superstar shake-up, shakedown, whatever the fuck you want to call it. So this is the time when you even things out, you rebalance the rosters, and then you look at the tag team division, you go, SmackDown, they have Injured New Day, they have American Alpha, and they don't have any other faces. And then you look over in Raw, and you're like, oh, they're heels. They got Gallus and Anderson, and, they got the Revival. Oh, Revival's hurt. And no other heels. And you're sitting there going, why was this, like, one heel team from SmackDown brought over? Like, instead of Heath and Rhino, move over the Ascension, or if Breezango, and then move over, you know, even if you bring over Golden Truth, it's another face tag team to get over the new big bad guys. Totally botched that, and I hate it. I hate the fact, because we see in NXT how good tag team wrestling can be. These guys graduate to the main roster, and they aren't given an opportunity to showcase what really good tag team wrestling is. It wouldn't take much for fans to really get into tag team wrestling, but we're not going to get that opportunity. And for that reason, that really fucking grinds my gears this week.
You're right. It's funny, too, because there's a lot of good tag teams out there, but they're all faces except for a few. Turn a few of them, and the ones that are not showcasing us are all the heel ones that are really good. Like the Ascension, I'm sorry, I've always liked the Ascension. They got a bad beginning in WWE, and they've been buried ever since, basically.
I think Breezango could get over as a face team. I legitimately feel they could get over. I feel the Ascension could get over as a badass face team because I'm seeing what's going on with the Authors of Pain down at NXT. I'm like, okay, so they're basically the Ascension, only a little bit more athletic. So this can work. This can work. Just got to give these guys matches because the fans, you know, they tried the Ascension versus what, American Alpha for 2 weeks in a row, and then they dropped it like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
For fuck's sakes, guys, like just... End Zone Cast need a heel turn.
Yes,
something.
In a bad way, Just because they're still, but the problem is they're still moving merchandise. They're not.
They've got to be in the top three merchandise, right? Like it's got to be Cena, and then possibly End Zone Cast.
It was. They mentioned it. It's Cena, End Zone Cast, and then it was someone that was kind of unlikely, and that shocked me that they were the best.
Was it Bailey?
No, that one shocked me. Bailey's up there.
Hmm.
It was someone who was shocking, like, holy crap, they're up there at the top. We wouldn't think that they would be up there.
Like Seth or KO or something like that?
KO, expect those guys. It was someone who was not someone I would expect. I can't remember.
Cool.
I'm dropping it here. But anyway, yeah, so, I don't know. Didn't it used to be a problem? Like, it seems like things have switched around. Didn't it used to be a problem where faces, you couldn't get good faces? And
yeah.
And now like they have a ton of good faces and no heel.
The thing is, they... If you just look at the roster, if you just take all tag teams in WWE and just put them together and then divide them fairly, you're sitting there like, holy shit, this is a great tag team revolution right now.
Yeah.
And instead, it's just a fucking joke. I feel kind of bad for Gallus and Anderson. I just soon have them as champs because they would have a lot of faces to face right now.
Right, yeah. I don't know. They shouldn't have lost, but I knew they were going to once the hard work came out. So.
Absolutely.
I agree with you. Right now, we could be having a renaissance going because it's been a long time since tag teams have been relevant. And now we've got some great tag teams. Great tag teams. And it just feels like they're kind of...
If you could pick three teams right now to put on a clinic at SummerSlam, just it don't matter which roster, which three teams would you have put on a clinic in, say, a TLC match?
Okay, definitely the Revival.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the American Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would... probably go with a Gallus and Anderson. My God.
Those I'd probably go with Cesaro.
See, I was thinking about them, but I really want
to I think they're, they might go heel.
Yeah.
They might.
I don't know right now. They're getting huge.
Yeah.
Their entrance alone.
The kilt is a great touch. As opposed to the bad touch. For my uncle.
Right.
Now,
I don't know. Like, I was thinking Cesaro and Sheamus too. That's what I was about to go with. And I thought Gallus and Anderson. If you really want tag teams, I mean, Revival, Gallus and Anderson, and American Alpha. You got your high flyers with good, great moves, power moves. You've got your just Revival, who's just it's just tag team what it should be. And then you got Gallus and Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, and quite frankly. We could exchange the Usos in for any of them and not miss a beat because the Usos, as heels, are able to showcase a lot more of what they're able to do. And I'm actually starting to believe that the Colognes, if given the spotlight, I think they could be legitimately a good team. But they got to actually be given a chance and they got to be given a storyline.
Right. Now, what are your three teams?
I mean, what? It's next to impossible to go wrong with Revival and American Alpha,
right.
And you can throw in any other team. You can go. I wouldn't go Enzo and Cass.
No, well, they're good for a shtick. Not, they're not a great team.
Hell, I could go New Day. New Day's fucking great. Yeah. Hell, I could make two of these matches. I could go New Day, Usos, and Gallows and Anderson, and I could go Revival, American Alpha, and fucking Slater and Rhino.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many good teams. You throw Breeze Dango in there. You throw the Ascension in there.
You forgot Cesaro.
Holy shit. You throw in the Vaudeville. Aw.
I didn't English this week. Oh, wait, no, I didn't watch all of wrestling, so did he come on?
No.
Okay.
No. Cue Vince McMahon's music.
No kidding.
Poor Aiden.
So, yeah, you're right. We're having a tag team revolution right now. We could be, and it's not. It's
so, and this kind of transitions into our last big segment before we hit our last two home runs.
Yeah.
You want to explain the idea?
Okay, sure. So, Ken and I were on the podcast, which we are on right now. I'm at the blog. On the blog,
no fake,
asked us two questions that I thought were really things that I did not want to go into on the blog because, let's face it, we're lazy. I'm on break right now, so I don't want to write a lot, but Kent asked two great questions. Who are five guys that you would push and give some information about how you push them for the next 6 months, and then five guys who you job. Now, I'm going to write it because, you know, that's my integrity as a blogger, but I'm going to short answer the shit out of all of them. So, if you want the information, you've got to listen to me here. But if you want to see what I wrote and see how comparatively horrible it is, go to wrestling or 9deuce.com/wrestling and you can get that.
See, we need to do this shit more often where we just completely sell ourselves short on the blog and be like, oh, if you really want to know our answers, you got to listen to the podcast too, assholes.
Right, exactly.
Because we love our fans.
In fact, I'm going to, because I haven't written any responses yet, I'm going to say, hey, do you want my full response? Go to the podcast, because I'm only writing half a note worth of information on here.
And then I will link it to the podcast. I will provide a link. There we go. Yes.
All right.
All right, so why don't we alternate who we'd go with for... Do you want to start off with pushes or D pushes?
Let's go with D pushes. That sounds like more fun right now. I don't think I have my list for the jobbers yet. Because I was debating who I thought could take a few losses here and there. So I was really debating that. I know I have my... Oh, no, I do have one. I started writing for one for the fall. All right. Yeah, let's start doing the jobbers. And I think we... Do we have anybody we agree on?
I don't know. I'm just pulling it up right now.
Okay.
By the way, on ESO, I found a character whose name was Disaster Bader 92. I took a screenshot of it. I was so impressed by that name.
Yeah. All right, I'll start. My first D push, or someone's going to have to do a few jobs, is Roman Reigns. He needs a D push right now, really badly. And if he takes a few losses here and there, it will only add value to him as he rebounds after that 6 months, whether it's face or heel. I think he starts jobbing for the next couple of months, so he's going to lose to Braun, because that would do everything for Braun. Lose to Brock Lesnar if they have their match in the next 6 months. I don't think so. So, all right, are we going to say how we want it to happen, or is it we're sticking kind of WWE?
No, how we would have it, meaning like who would you have Roman put over over the next 6 months?
Definitely Braun. He's going to put over Braun. And I think he needs to put someone else over, someone like Joe. Okay?
Those in the Samoan Badass feud?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he needs to put both of them over. And that's got to be, that's right there. If you put those two over, that will relieve so much Roman hate. It wouldn't even be funny. And then you start his push. Because we've always said, Roman is not bad. It's not his fault. But he gets shit on horribly. He doesn't deserve it. So now they need to clear his name, and the only way they're going to clear it is if he starts to play the game and take the loss. Okay?
I thought he played the game last WrestleMania.
He did.
And it was significantly shorter than this year's.
Yeah.
You know what? I also agreed I had Roman listed at number 5. And to kind of follow up some of what you said, WWE has long forgotten somehow how good a storyline can be when a talent loses a bunch in a row, where they get on a losing streak, they kind of lose their confidence, and then, you know, something kind of kicks them in the ass. They have a heel turn, they have a face turn, and suddenly it starts clicking and they gain momentum. It's an easy story because, A, you're hiding this, like, you're hiding the storyline because you're secretly just pushing talent, and then you're reviving that person's career. It's such an easy story to tell, but WWE has really forgotten how to do that. The closest they've done was with Dolph and Miz, and then they quickly took the belt off of Dolph. And so, yeah, I would have Roman go on a losing streak. Samoa Joe is a definite. Braun, yes, I wouldn't go much longer than a month, though, with Braun, just because we saw it in February. We've been seeing it for a while. Get away from it for a little bit. Braun doesn't have to be made by Roman.
No.
I would have it with Samoa Joe. See what the reaction is. And after Roman versus Samoa Joe, I would go with Roman versus Bray Wyatt. If the crowd is still hating Roman at that point, you can finally pull the trigger on doing the double switch. You can make Bray a face. Because
right.
Bray's been teetering on that. So, at that point, you can make that decision. It gives you options. So, we agree on Roman. Who else you got?
All right, my next one is actually the Hardy Boys. I think they could deal some jobbing right now. And I know it's typical, you know, well, the old guys should put over the new guys. I'm not thinking that at all, even though it's going to happen a little bit. I'm thinking Hardy Boys, because I know you love this the angle, but I'm thinking Broken, because I think it'd be entertaining as hell. So they need to take a few losses to get to Broken. All right? If you're going to take it and claim it as your own WWE, you've got to put your own spin. You got to put your spin on it. You've got to have them lose. I'm thinking they need to lose to who gets their push. I think Revival, but I don't want them to have it for the titles. That's my only problem, because I don't think the Revival needs the titles yet.
Isn't the Revival almost like the AJ Styles of tag team wrestling? Like, yeah. They don't need a title to be relevant.
No, they don't, and that's what I'm thinking. They deserve a huge win, so it has to be at a huge spot. And the next pay-per-view is not a huge spot. And Cesaro, that was my other who they should drop. So those are my two that I thought that they should try to put over a little bit. Revival doesn't really need it, so I'm going to say Cesaro, I guess. I'll go with that.
Wait, would you have the Hardys maintain the belts for at least a couple months?
Yeah, for a couple of months, maintain the belts, but have them win either cheaply or fluke, whatever, I don't care. Just to give Cesaro, just give them the titles for a little bit longer, but then have Cesaro take it off of them, and then just have them go on a losing streak.
I mean, you're kind of going back to the genesis of how the Broken Matt gimmick kind of started.
Yep.
And I'm all for it. Like, a lot of WWE fans are not aware of how that all started, but they want to chant obsolete and delete.
Oh, absolutely.
So why not tell the story again? It'd be great.
That's what I'm saying. It's already been told, but make it their own story. Don't just say, oh, yeah, by the way, they're broken from previous times. No, make it your own story. Let him be broken from WWE.
Let Matt feel broken from losing the belts and constantly losing.
Yep.
Let Matt go into the depression and then come back as Broken Matt. And then break his brother down so much that Jeff no longer wants to be a spot monkey. Because Jeff training with the kangaroo shit was some of the funniest things I saw last year in wrestling. There's so many things that they can do. I don't necessarily need the fights at the Hardy compound.
No.
But some of the vignettes, perfect. Do it. That's stuff WWE does need right now. So I'm on board with that, although I didn't have the Hardys on mine. I did have a tag team on mine, though. I wasn't sure between New Day or End Zone Cass, and now that I'm talking out loud, I'm going to say End Zone Cass. Not that I feel that right now New Day has been jobbing a lot since they've dropped the titles. And you can only job a team so much before they become Golden Truth. You need to keep them still relevant, right? So I say New Day is, they need some wins here. Versus Enzo and Cass, once again, if they can lose and get their edge back, I still think they put over merchandise no matter how mean the words that come out of Enzo's mouth are.
Oh, yeah, I think so too, because I think he's better at being mean too.
Like, his scathing comments could be gold in WWE. I know that they want to keep it kid-friendly and the kids love Enzo and Cass, but I think you start selling to adults if you make him more scathing. And kids don't know any better.
No.
Kids are jackasses. And more than anything else, Cass needs it. Cass needs to be humbled, and he needs... Something needs to light a fire under Cass's ass, because I'm sorry, he's not the same guy that I saw in NXT. I saw a guy who was really hungry in NXT, and then they got the call-up, and they seemed really hungry, and now they just really seem beaten down. So there needs to be some rhyme and reason why they get fired back up.
Right.
Give them some losses. Give them a heel turn. Do something. They need a change before they become stagnant as fuck, if they aren't already.
Right. All right. And this was already kind of started happening a little bit, but it's already turned back around. It's my next person, by the way. I'm going with Charlotte. She took a few losses recently that kind of, you know, they're starting it, but they already turned it back around. I'm thinking she needs a longer set of losses. And here's the reason. All right, she needs to put over some of the other wrestlers, because she always goes over them, and I don't know, it kind of gets stale after a while. She needs to give back. She's one of those ones that has to give back. I'm thinking she needs to put over Naomi. Naomi deserves a better run than like 2 months, not even. So she needs to put over Naomi, and I think, honestly, she should put over Becky, too. You know, then she should start getting frustrated. She's in a new... It works really well, story-wise. She's in SmackDown. She's taking losses all of a sudden. She's not used to losing. She can bounce back from it and either become the face, which I think if she's got that, you know, I was a loser. I took a long, hard look at myself and decided to put effort into it, whatever, and that's made a comeback. I think it'll be a great story for her when she does make a comeback and starts winning again.
I could see that really working, especially if Daniel or Shane added a little extra pressure to her situation, you know, being like, hey, we traded a lot, we gave up a lot for you, and you're really not performing. And it doesn't have to be mean, but just like that motivational thing that really gets her questioning herself, like, what's happening, you know?
They can do it for 4 or 5 months. And she doesn't have to lose every single match fairly. Sure, she can lose one by fluke or something, whatever. You know what I mean? But
she can eat some pins and some women's tag matches, because everybody can eat pins and tag matches, right, for instance.
So that's why. Charlotte's my third.
I like that a lot, because I don't think there's a woman out there that's taken more over the past year than Charlotte.
Right.
And now I'm looking, I never listed a single female.
Yeah, no.
That's weird, but Charlotte's really the only one that can give back. Nobody else has really received enough right now to give back. Right. So I'm struggling. I'll go with Dean Ambrose.
Okay.
Raw's so loaded in the upper card that they need to move a couple guys down to mid-card and treat it like it's the hottest division going today. And, you know, you got Dean, you got Miz, you got Joe, somebody like Finn. If that was your mid-card, you realize how stacked that fucking is already? And you add a couple of other guys, you know, Elias Sampson on the lower end, and I don't even know who on the face side. All of a sudden, you have a mid card that could be an upper card on another show. And Dean is so freaking good on the mic. He may not be the best in-ring wrestler, but that dude can get over on the mic.
Yeah, he did really good this week, I thought. I like the Raw segment with this, even though it's the same feud we've always had between like these two. It was a good.
It felt different a little bit too, though. Yeah. I liked it, and I just really think that right now Dean has enough presence where he can get people over. He's always been good at getting people over. He's not always been good at getting matches, but he's been good at getting people over. I mean, really, look how many times he got Bray over, and then Bray goes on to job somebody else, but right. He always gets Bray over really well. Yeah. And Bray, hell, Bray could be added to that freaking thing, too. But not only that, and I swear to God, this is like in every one of our answers, but I would have Dean turn heel. I 100%. Dean's the one guy we haven't got to see really, like, Roman, we've kind of seen, like, shades of whatever,
right.
But Dean, we since the Shield turned face, we haven't seen Dean as a dickhead heel,
yeah.
And I think he has more potential than anybody else to be the greatest dickhead heel in WWE right now.
True. Now, I was thinking Charlotte's the opposite. Charlotte goes face from
right. So far, we've basically turned every one of our answers.
Well, I'm not going to turn this one. Finn Balor. But Finn needs to take some losses. I know Kerry were here.
Oh, my God. We got to get some sand out of some ways.
Yeah. But Finn needs to, right now, he has the opportunity to have a great run coming up. Not this year, the next year. But he needs to take some huge losses. And we don't bring the Demon back, not for a long time. All right? So I'm thinking, and I know it's not going to work, so it doesn't matter, but Finn takes some losses here, gets pinned. We can get him some good feuds with, I'm trying to think who we could feud him with. That's my only concern.
Bray's a really good feud for him.
And I think that's going to happen, but Bray needs to win it. Bray needs to win against Finn, and I don't think it's going to happen.
I 100% agree. That feud's making me cringe already,
yeah.
But it's so good if booked right.
Yeah. Oh, the potential. It's amazing. That could go on for 6 months. And we never see the
Demon. Oh, yeah.
But he keeps on losing. Finn keeps on losing. And then finally he releases the Demon. Right? So you're thinking he goes heel, but no. He stays face. So he only releases the Demon when he absolutely needs to at that point. Gets the win, and then he starts going on his win streak, and then he carries it on to go after whatever title. Red Belt.
I like it. I personally, I don't know, the way I see it, they're definitely going to do the Balor Club or Bullet Club. Oh, it's going to be the Balor Club.
Yeah.
Or just the club. At some point, and I know this goes beyond the 6 months, but I absolutely see them becoming so dominant that Triple H steps in as the face at next year's WrestleMania because Triple H... Oh, has a hard-on for Finn.
He does.
And Triple H tries to undo the wrong by pushing Finn so hard.
Yep.
I can see, like, that's a good storyline. It works really well.
You know, the problem is, that's a great storyline, though. I would love to see that story. So.
I think it could, you know what? The Triple H and Seth thing, if Seth didn't get hurt, that storyline would have been money.
It would have been much better. Right?
Yeah. So, I like it. I didn't have Finn on my list. I will go with a guy that used to have abs much like Finn, though, and go with Randy Orton. And, damn it, on SmackDown, though, that motherfucker got some of the best pops of the night. And I'm so confused. He's been a heel for months now.
Yep.
But the fans love him, and I don't know... In my opinion, Randy is at his best when he's chasing, not when he's holding the title, despite being a 13-time champion... Or 14, whatever he is.
He's a better chaser. Once he has the belt, he's boring.
He's complacent, yeah. And I love the energy that... When Randy is at 100%, I don't know how many wrestlers are better than Randy when he's operating at pure 100%. He is so good when he's great, but when he's not at that level, he drops off, you know, down to like a 70% wrestler.
Right.
So maximize the best you can get out of Randy. I'm not even going to say give him a heel turn. He's already been a heel and everybody still loves him. People are going to eat up the RKO out of nowhere. He can get fucked over by Baron Corbin or KO and he can come out, you know, 2 weeks later out of nowhere, hit the RKO and fans are going to love it and he can cleanly put people over. I think see over the next 6 months. I think Randy has to hold on to it, though, for at least until June. I don't see him dropping it to Baron before June, if not until SummerSlam.
Yeah, SummerSlam.
But he could eat a few losses in between, just in non-title matches, tag team matches, right. Stuff like that. That's where I'm going with it, I guess.
Yeah.
No heel turn, though, although I do like heel Randy. I don't think the fans accept heel Randy anymore.
Even if he does heel things, they cheer for him. Fans are starting to cheer for who they want, period. It doesn't matter.
So, confound those damn fans.
All right, I don't really have a fifth one, so I'm trying to think who I could just take some losses and work with it. There's the obvious one that I know you're going to bring up. And I don't want to because he's my boy. So I'll let you do it.
Got any cruzerweights?
I'm thinking of some cruzerweights. But even then, there's nobody I really want to take some pins. Actually, you know what? I got it. It's going to be, and he's already flipped. It's too late. But why not have it be TJ Perkins? I would have called him if he hadn't already turned. But he would have been great. He already started doing it, taking some losses. But I mean really taking losses. Keep on losing to people he shouldn't be losing to. So everyone gets that push from him, the other being TJ Perkins. And that's when TJ should have been. So I had always thought TJ should have been taking losses and snapped and turned into a badass heel and just been like... And he could have still stuck with some of his gimmicks, like video games and stuff he wanted to, because I like his music. But... just become that bad guy. You can become the villain. I don't care. But they've already changed it, so I don't know. It's kind of hard. I don't want him to lose as a heel. I want him to lose as a face. And then turn. You're not talking to me. I can't hear a word you're saying.
Sorry. Pull the Russ. I feel that his turn should have happened 2 months ago.
But...
the problem is 205's so loaded with heels, really good heels, and on the face side, they got Aries and Jack.
Aries is a better heel, so that's weird.
Right. Aries is basically being a heel during this whole thing and just getting cheers. He's pulling an Orton while eating a banana.
They're not utilizing him at all.
I thought Rich was so going to be money, and then
they
had to push... they pushed Neville, and pushing Neville was the right call. Like, the problem is they need another belt because there's so many guys that are deserving of a push.
That cruiserweight on its own is amazing because, and I don't want to go off into a tangent because we're already running pretty late. But the cruiserweights, I remember when it first started, I was like, oh my god, it's gonna be a disaster. They've turned it around. There's some great feuds going on. There's a lot of good, interesting guys to watch. There's too much. You're right. They need another belt. Give us a little bit of a mid-card.
Yeah, they've really... I mean, I would be okay if they had a mid-card and a tag team title. I'm fine with it.
Division / belt. That fit. Yeah.
Yeah, because that way there's more things for people to go for other than just personal feuds over Alicia Fox.
Right, which
oh god, it sure is. Love it. My last pick, as Russ alluded to, is Seth Rollins, and although Russ may not want to admit it, Seth Rollins may be the one guy more than just about anybody else that really, really needs to give back.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just don't want it to happen.
Like, he can spend the whole rest of the year eating losses, and he'll still be way ahead on the wins thing. Not that I want him to job the rest of the year. I'm just saying right now would be a good time to have him job out and then have him get hot again come fall time.
Right.
Like, you don't want to go too cold for too long.
Right.
Then you become a Scorpio.
Right.
But simultaneously, like, yeah, he needs to put over Joe. He needs to put over somebody else. I don't know if Braun's the right guy for him, but I say Miz versus Seth is money.
Yeah, I was going to say, putting over Miz, not that Miz needs to be put over, but having him beat Seth would be a good feather in his cap, because he's not going to get any titles for a long time. So,
how would you feel about Bray versus Seth? Because we haven't really seen that in singles as a good feud. Do you think that would work well? I'm a little... Dean versus Bray works. Roman versus Bray works. I don't know if Seth versus Bray works.
It would only work in the sense that... No, I can't even... Every time I think about it, you're right. It doesn't make any sense. I don't think Seth going against Bray is the best option.
So, here's my question. Why is Seth so widely considered when Seth versus Bray's not a good match? Seth versus Braun's not a good match? Seth versus Brock Lesnar? I know people want to see it, but it's really not that great of a combination. Like,
that's more Brock's fault than Bray.
That's more Brock, but once again, though, it kind of hurts the value of a person when they don't match up very well. Him versus Finn is something that we do want to see down the road, well, I think.
Finn versus Seth, one of Seth's powers or abilities is to put on a good match against those with similar abilities, I guess?
Similar styles, yeah.
Yeah, he's better with those. But
him versus CM Punk was some of the best matches that I've seen when they were they were having some good Raw matches back when it was the Shield still.
Right. So, Seth, you're right, and that's... I don't think that his matches with Braun or Brock would be bad. It's just Braun's abilities don't match with Seth, even though Braun is athletic.
It'd be tough for Seth to get on the offense too much against those guys because of this different...
Like, I don't see Bray in
I struggle with that one as well. I'd like to see Seth versus Jericho.
Yeah, they did that a little bit, though.
I'm fine. Something's got to give because, in my opinion, as much as I like watching Seth matches, I sit here and I'm like, well, I can only name a few matches that I really like, and the rest of the time, Seth is there. He's always trying hard, but he's kind of becoming a modern-day Dolph Ziggler.
I know, and that scares me. I really want him to have at least a couple more successful. He needs a good story. That's what Seth needs. Seth needs a good story behind him to match his matches. He needs a story. He can't just go out there and produce a match, which he can. They're good. But without a story, it's meh.
I'll give you a name of who could rejuvenate Seth Rollins right now. Bobby Roode versus Seth Rollins would be money.
God, that'd be money.
Yep, that's the ticket for your boy.
Yeah.
Although he'd have to put Bobby Roode over, but it would still revitalize Seth, I think.
Absolutely. That'd be fantastic. Holy cow, I can't wait for that to happen.
Yeah, God, I hope not, though. Well, Raw doesn't need...
No,
Roode would get buried worse than Samoa Joe.
So wait till next year and do the SmackDown.
Yeah, so, I don't know. All right, so let's move on to people we'd push.
All right, pushes. Let's do some pushes. All right, Kent, why don't you start pushing?
Okay, I'm going to push it real good, and I will start off with my boy, Luke Harper, and shame on you, SmackDown, for not giving us what we should have had last night, because Randy versus Luke is a feud that I think most wrestling fans want to see. They match up incredibly well. I think it's because the story's there. I think Randy likes working with Luke. I once again, Randy having fun is best Randy. And Luke is... If they don't pull the trigger on Luke within this calendar year, I don't think they're ever going to do it. I think he's going to fall in Cesaro land. So they really need to do it. He just needs to feud with Randy. He doesn't need to win it. That's the thing. Like, you don't always have to win the feud in order to get a push.
Right.
That would work really well. Luke versus Baron, something that I'm really unsure about. I think I want to see it, though, but I want to see that more in the fall. In between then, give me Luke versus AJ. Like, I know we want AJ versus Shinsuke, but hold off on that a little bit. Give us Luke versus AJ. I don't care. Once again, Luke can lose to Randy and AJ. I would just hold off onto it until Baron... I don't know if Luke would be a big enough win to put Baron over where he needs to be right now.
Baron would be champion and have Luke go after him. They could make money out of that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, in the fall time when Baron's champion, I think that's a great feud. It, how Luke matches up with all the top guys. That's the cool thing with Luke, is that he's so diverse. You can put him with Cena, Randy, AJ. Hell, Luke versus Shinsuke could actually be a hell of a lot of fun. So, and possibly Rowan. If Rowan can keep improving, Luke versus Rowan could very well be an entertaining short match. Don't go too long. Yeah, it could be fun for a little bit. So, Luke's my first guy. Who you got
now,
for first?
Funny, I didn't choose Luke because you chose him, and I knew you'd go after him, so I didn't choose him. My first is actually going to be Curt Hawkins. All right?
Wow. Curt Hawkins. You're going to take everybody from the Raw roster, and you're going to push Curt Hawkins.
Yes, and here's the reason why. They had a great gold mine when he first came back, as they were doing the Curt Hawkins does this, you know, like the...
The Chuck Norris shit.
Thank you. They were doing the Chuck Norris stuff with him, and I thought it was hilarious. And how fun would it be to have him just come out and like do these ridiculous? They always have these ridiculous Curt Hawkins facts as he's coming out. They can have the announcer guy, like one of the announcer guys, for his voice, and just go, "Curt Hawkins does this as he's walking out." And he's just that cocky ass bad guy. And when he comes out, though, he delivers. He wins. He starts getting some pushes. And it's becoming all of a sudden like he is Chuck Norris. You know, he can't lose, whatever. I think it would be hilarious. It'd be great. And then, yeah, I understand. It's Curt Hawkins. But still, I just think it would be hilarious and fun to see that.
I think it's ridiculous in the fact that people are okay with Zack Ryder getting a push, but not Curt Hawkins, when those guys have basically the same talent.
Yeah.
Plus, I'll run with your premise just slightly more and say, right now, Kurt Angle needs somebody to really chat with backstage, and I think Curt Hawkins may be perfect for that.
Would be good for that. That would be fun, especially if they're getting Kurt, instead of making him jobber land, they need to make him just that goofy heel.
Well, you can't say Kurt anymore. You gotta say Hawkins or Angle, because we're talking both Kurts.
So I'll say Hawkins.
But think about that. That writes itself too. Two Kurts.
Yes. Oh my.
Kurt with a C. Kurt, like, they could have so much fun with it.
So much to work with that. Holy cow, that'd be great. All right, there you go. So there's my first, one of my first pushes.
Okay, second push for me is the Big Show. And I know he's, like, one of the, if not the elder statesman on the roster at this point. Especially, I don't know what the hell Mark Henry's doing. So why I would push Big Show is because he has shown us this year that, A, he's gotten in shape. B, he's still got it. Like, he looks like he is ready to put on a big bad show for us tonight. And I say you take advantage of a guy that size, because he's not going to be around for much longer.
No, and then
why not? Right. I mean, he doesn't even need the title run. Just make him good again, so that towards the end of the run, his run, it's going to make a difference when you have him give somebody the rub.
Yeah.
Make Big Show dominant again, then give the Big Show rub, because right now, if Big Show's like, I am having a retirement match, that rub is meaningless. But if you build him up and rejuvenate him, then you give him his send-off, it means so much more. So that's, I know more younger wrestlers could use the rub, could use a push, but I think the most satisfying pushes are when you get the rub from the elder statesman.
Right. And Big Show deserves, I don't know, the way he's been putting in the work, I think he deserves something in recognition. It's hard to say he deserves a title, but if you start making them, and they've been doing it a little bit. I mean, the stuff with Braun has been great.
You know what? If we're going to give Jinder a freaking heavyweight title match, I say Big Show deserves a push of some kind. Because
Big Show versus Brock, as long as they don't... If Big Show has enough push, don't you think, to at least not be able to be bitched around?
I would just avoid that, because nobody's interested in Brock versus Big Show anymore. I genuinely... They killed it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That Royal Rumble, whatever year it was, a few years ago.
Yeah.
So I would avoid that. I would actually avoid doing much more Big Show versus Braun. Keep that a novelty thing that you break out every few months.
Right.
Because, yes, this week was really decent wrestling, and then it had the gimmicky collapsing thing. By the way, My favorite part of the ring collapsing, I just gotta say this, was watching the referee trying to, like, he got, like, blown out of an explosion. It was great.
Watching him was funny. I don't understand how they time it. Is there, like, part that collapses it? Like, they push a button or something?
Every time I watch it, I'm sitting there trying to figure out, there's gotta be some mechanism that kicks the post out, I'm thinking.
How does it break when they don't do, like, they've been doing other things and doesn't break, but then when they do that one move.
Right, like, I don't know how it stays steady in that post. They must have people off camera in the corners doing something, or they have something rigged with a button, as you said.
Right, and I was wondering. Or we could go on to the WWE.com and look at the comment section and see how they're looking.
It's real!
Live. Hashtag get well soon, Big Show.
I saw my old eyes. They collapsed the ring. They should be suspended for ring abuse.
Yeah. We should get mileage out of that.
We sure will.
All right, next for me. I'm going to go Apollo Crews in my next one. Here's the reason why. He is too good in the ring, from what I've seen, to be doing what he's doing right now, which is absolutely nothing. So I think he deserves a push. Now, I'm not saying to the moon. I don't think he's red belt material, but I think he could definitely be a mid-carder that people really love and can get behind if they just give him a chance.
Do you think this whole thing with Titus, do you think it has any legs where Titus has been sorely in need of somebody to work off of?
Apollo seems to be that guy.
I think it has potential. I know it's going to come back and bite me in the ass. I know this ain't going to work, but definitely. In my mind, it's working in my mind already.
Well, if they do it right, it can work. Because they keep on doing this little thing with Apollo, or not Apollo, with Titus, which didn't work with New Day. And they're kind of doing the same thing with Apollo, so I'm kind of worried it's going to turn out the same way. But they have a great chance right now not to screw it up. I enjoyed Monday night's little segment real quick. Well, let's see where it goes. But I think Apollo Crews is one of those guys who's a fantastic talent, has done nothing on the main roster, period. They haven't let him do anything.
Would you team them up, or would you have them feud? Would you have them become like a comedy gimmick or a heel gimmick?
I think they'd be great as a comedy gimmick at first. And then maybe separate them and then let Apollo go face. I can't see Apollo. I don't know. I've never seen Apollo as a heel, so I don't know. It doesn't seem like
that's I want to see Apollo as a heel. Like, I want to see a more ruthless version of the Primetime Players. Like, just ruthless, though. Titus, I think, has something, but we never get to see it because it's always in shit feuds. And the only time we've ever seen really good stuff was with Primetime Players when they got a mini, you know, rub for a very little bit.
Right. All right. Who's your next one?
I'm going to go with the Drifter, Elias Sampson. And quite frankly, I don't know why, other than in NXT, he rarely got any wins. He pulled a Ty Dillinger, basically. Right. But I haven't seen a guy draw heat like this in a long time. Like,
why do people hate him so much? I don't understand. Like, I'm not NXT savvy enough to hate him.
Basically, he comes out, plays his guitar, sings poorly, and his songs tend to suck. And it's so intentional. It's not like honky tonk, man.
Right.
Like, but he's so serious about the way he does it. It's goofy, but in a serious way. And the fans just boo the shit out of him. It's not X-Pac heat.
What I was gonna say is it douchebag frat boy heat.
I think it could very well be, you know, Chad Kroger type heat.
Okay.
That's what I want to call it. That's the only thing I think of. And for those who don't know who Chad Kroger is, good for you. He's the lead singer of Nickelback. And he's also married. Is he still married to that chick? Avril Lavigne?
Whatever. I don't think so.
Yeah, I have no idea. I hear stuff from women every once in a while, and that's about the only thing I know about celebrities dating. Once again, unfortunately, he'd be way better off on SmackDown, though.
Oh,
I don't think he's going to get a... he's not going to get a fair shake on Raw. He's not going to see a title anytime soon. That's for fucking sure. But I would still push him as a guy in the mid-card. Once again, I want to strengthen that mid-card to the point of being the most must-see division in wrestling. And it could be done.
Oh, absolutely. They definitely have it. All right. My next is Nakamura. Now, he doesn't technically need a push because he's been pushed since he started. I mean, he takes very few losses. So it's not like he needs a push. But here's the reason why I want to push him. So he can take a fall later on. So it's a little bit different than the normal, oh yeah, he needs a push because I would like fun to see it. I think Nakamura should be pushed right now because he's hot. Get him going. Get him a lot of wins under his belt. It doesn't have to be a lot, I guess. But have him be in successful feuds that are fun and entertaining to watch. And then, maybe 6 or 7 months down the line, have him start taking the fall. Start losing to like some of these other guys. Give them the rub against Nakamura to, you know, move them to the next level. Use Nakamura as that guy. Because, let's face it, we're not going to see too many WWE Championship runs with Nakamura. Mainly because the language barrier, and you know how Vince is with language barrier. Not using the guy who carries the belt. So give him that rub to get him to be that, oh, it's Nakamura, it's awesome, and then let the other guys take the rub from him.
I would go one step further. I wouldn't even have him, I would have him go undefeated, win the Royal Rumble, face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, because Brock's already familiar with him. Mm-hmm. If Brock's going to job, Brock would gladly job to a guy that hits hard like Shinsuke. Like,
right, yeah.
I think Brock would enjoy the shit out of that. And you've made yourself, like, he's already a star. You've made yourself a merchandising superstar. And I get really bored with undefeated pushes. And he can lose. He can lose as long as it's cheap. But honestly, strap on the Roman Rocket to Shinsuke, because the crowd loves him, and he is the closest thing to a rock star we have seen in wrestling in years. I think he's the perfect guy to get the Lesnar rub. I don't know why the hell I didn't write it in the blog.
Well, see, and I agree with you, but that's what I'm thinking. Like, Nakamura does not need a belt to be a superstar.
He certainly doesn't.
That's my thought process with him was, like, all right, let's give him a push, give him that power, and then let other people take the rub off of him. Because once he's already a superstar, but he needs to establish. You know what I mean? And then let some of the other people take off some of the rub off of him. Someone getting the win off of him is going to be huge if they play it right.
Yeah, I think AJ Styles is going to cement Shinsuke's legacy for a while. But could you imagine if he got the big win over AJ and got the win over Lesnar? You're talking made man.
Yeah,
you are talking instantly made guy who can then go on to make others. So, and that's the goal in wrestling, at least in theory. WWE doesn't subscribe to that notion, but we do. I will go on with my fourth pick.
Okay.
Emma. Why? Because she's the best wrestler. Best women's wrestler. I don't even know why I'm eating up this whole Dana and Emma thing, but it's in short doses, and I don't hate it. I liked Crazy Foxy. I'm really hoping we get Emma versus Crazy Foxy. I want Emma matches up well with every single female on Raw right now, and without Charlotte blocking the way, I think. I'm really hoping that they pay attention to how good Emma is, because as much as I like Alexa, Alexa is strong enough to carry her own feud. She doesn't need the belt to carry her own feud. Emma might need a belt to cement her as being that level so then she can give back. So Emma would be the person I would really push her over Sasha.
Right.
Well, first Dana, then Sasha, then Bayley. And go from there. And then probably bring up Billy Kay and Peyton Royce and make an Aussie stable.
Emma's,
why not?
Yeah, Emma's good. I mean, I've never really seen her in the ring too much, but I think when I first saw her, I hated her, by the way. Which is,
Oh yeah, when she was too poppy. Yeah.
They did a bad big mistake there, but I like this Emma. I'm just hoping they continue on.
Yeah. I would highly recommend to people who aren't necessarily familiar with Emma to go on the network and check out some of Emma versus Paige's match right before Paige got called up. Those two had some really good matches, and that was actually the start of the current women's revolution. Don't believe the bullshit WWE tells you. That was the start of good women's wrestling back in WWE. Fact. Yeah. Seriously, because the Four Horsewomen were still just barely getting by in the ring, while Paige and Emma were tearing the house down.
That's the problem. Like, I never saw any of that stuff, so I only saw Emma ever come back and have that stupid whatever she was doing here.
Yeah. Realistically, the thing is that by Paige getting called up and then Emma getting called up shortly thereafter, they had to rely on the next generation, which happened to be the Four Horsewomen. Right. That's the only reason those girls got the opportunity. So
well, I guess that was good for them then.
Yeah. All right. Who you got
for my next, and it's actually a woman too as well. Becky Lynch needs to be pushed because she got the rub at the beginning when they first brand split, but they've completely just disregarded her. And Alexa, and I blame Alexa for most of it, which is fine because Alexa's awesome. But it really.
And she has a sweet ass.
Yeah, she does. But they really ruined Becky because of that push. And I'm not blaming Alexa. She deserves it. But they need to rebound Becky. She's awesome. She's likable, not annoying, and she can put on a good match. So just get her in the matches. Get her in with Charlotte. I think she needs Charlotte right now. But she needs to beat Charlotte.
Right, she put over Charlotte way too much last year. Now it's time for Charlotte to give back. Yep. You know, a point that's missed on a lot of people is that Becky's surprisingly really good on the mic and actually really funny. Sometimes hokey, but really funny. And she actually was a decent heel in NXT. So when the time is right, not this year, but down the road, she actually makes a suitable heel. Mm-hmm. And I'd really like to see somebody really latch on to the Lynch mob idea. Like, make that her fan following. I think it's funny. It would work.
I'm pretty sure that's borderline racist, my friend.
I didn't bring race into it. As long as they don't start off with Naomi versus Becky, I think we're fine.
The
like,
Bob's coming after Naomi.
Yeah. God damn it. I like it. All right. My fifth and final person is an obvious pick. I don't know why you don't have him on your list.
Same guy you did, honestly.
Okay. Samoa Joe. No. I don't even think I have to explain this.
No.
Do I?
No. Samoa Joe needs to be pushed. And they botched it at WrestleMania. I'm sorry.
They have blown his call-up so bad that they need to get down on their hands and knees and just slobber all over his knob until he is finish with the fellatio and then can move on to get a push.
Yeah.
That man needs to be treated like a king because he's every bit as good as AJ in some regards, and maybe not in all regards, but he's good enough where I'm putting him in the same sentence as far as being really good in the ring in a different way, as a physical, hard-hitting, badass way. And that's awesome. We need that. That's all I got to say. Yeah. Rome,
You had two guys I really wanted to put on there. So, Samoa Joe. And
Luke, I'm assuming?
Yeah, those are the two guys I really wanted to put on. I was like, Ken's already got them. I don't want to repeat, so I'll try doing two different guys.
And then you came up with who you did at number five, though.
Well, okay. And here's one of the reasons why, because I couldn't think of another person who could deserve a push. And now this guy is desperate for a push. Desperate.
If you don't say Ty Dillinger here right now.
No, I wasn't going to say. I was thinking Ty. He doesn't really need a push. I don't know. Neither does this guy. Okay, I'll be honest. Seth Rollins. I chose Seth as my other guy.
If anybody who's listening to this right now is surprised at this,
you don't listen to our podcast at all.
You're lying to yourself. You've never listened to this a day in your life.
All right. Here's the reason why I chose Seth. Because I want one of my guys to have something fun and entertaining. I need one of my guys to be at the top. Now, Kurt Angle is, you know, not wrestling, so I can't really use him. Although he's back, and it really makes me feel good. But Seth, now hear me out, because I'm not saying push him immediately. I'm saying make this a slow burn push. Something where he's perfect right now with the Authority, because yes, okay, he beat Triple H, but let's face it. The match was fun, but it wasn't definitive because of his injury beforehand. I say once Stephanie comes back, she just starts throwing everything she can at Seth to deter him from whatever his goal is, because sure, red belt. He's not going to see it for at least a year, if not more than that. Let's face that. Right now. So let's have him be the one who goes against the Authority. You know, rallies against...
Again?
Him. Yeah. He's good in that role.
I don't want to see him and Stephanie anymore.
Triple H. I want to see him against Steph's hand-picked people. So that's the one thing I don't have. I don't have I don't have that. Have someone Steph chooses to be her Steph killer. I don't know who it
okay.
is right now.
Braun would be
Braun,
good.
Yeah, but again, I don't know how good Seth versus Braun would be, but... You know what I mean? But,
if the goal is to kill Seth, Braun works in that particular
right.
case. Braun's not good to carry Seth in a match. That's the ugly.
He'd be good for a kill on Seth. So I'm saying kill, like, and then his whole entire goal now is to get back to the top, and Stephanie keeps on throwing him back down. It would be a lot of fun. It can go on for a while, and it keeps Seth busy.
I actually would like it. I'd be fine with at one point to go along with this for Stephanie to sweet talk Paul into having Brock take on Seth, because Stephanie and Paul Heyman together on screen is always a fantastic
okay.
time.
Yep.
So, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, and like I said, two reasons why I chose Seth. One, I really want my guy to do something, because you know what happens once you go into obscurity in wrestling. You're done.
Russ, here's a suggestion. Do as I have done, and find some obscure little guys that probably have no chance in hell, and occasionally you don't get lucky, because right now, I have the Revival, who, although are hurt, we still see money on
yeah.
them. I have Baron Corbin, who we think is going to become a world champion, and Miss Bliss already achieved twice. I got very lucky, and that won't happen again for the next 5 years. But what I'm saying is, find somebody that you can attach onto from NXT. Don't even watch them. Just wait until they get called up and be like, that's my guy. I think that's what you should really do, because right now, just slopping on Seth's knob, it's kind of like, what's left for Seth to do? Like, unfortunately, they pushed him so hard with the Authority and then the anti-Authority that as a fan, I'm sitting here like, I don't really want to see Seth anymore. I don't know what else to do for him to keep him fresh. I just want to see him have good matches. I don't care
right.
about storyline anymore.
His storyline is killed. They need something new for storyline on him.
Russ, adopt Elias Sampson. Oh, wait, too late. I already took Elias Sampson. Take Mojo Rawley.
Dude, I have no interest in him.
Well, you got Kurt Hawkins. All right, you're adopting Kurt Hawkins. All right, who are you adopting on SmackDown? Come on, take a guy or a team that you want.
Well, Nakamura, but I think that's everybody. So
yeah, that
Ty Dillinger. I'll go with Ty. I'm gonna latch on to Ty and just watch him fail miserably as.
He won't. Remember, I talked about Ty for the past 6 months. It's hard for me to have Baron and Ty at the same time,
yeah,
so...
I'll take Ty. Baron, you talked us all into Baron. And you were right, too. Because, damn, he's awesome.
I'm telling you right now who I'm going to talk you motherfuckers into over the next few months. I see money in Carmella.
I think she's
going to become something bigger. She's going to be the next Bliss. A girl that hasn't really been that great in the ring, but with the right stuff can actually become really good, a really good character. And that's all you need nowadays. I think that's... She's my girl on SmackDown, so... get ready for me to be pushing Carmella a lot on here, no matter how bad she is.
All right. I've got to wrap this up. This was supposed to be a short one, and we're already hitting on 2 hours.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
All right. Wait. Let's do this. Were we not entertained by Cesaro versus Jeff Hardy? No. No, we weren't.
Not at all.
All right. Let's do Guess the Wrestler.
Real quick. I do want to talk about wrestling. Not that it was bad. That's the problem. It's just, we have such a hate for Jeff Hardy. Like, I hate Jeff Hardy so much. And Cesaro, I love him. But they made Jeff Hardy look too good against Cesaro.
My issue right now is that I'm really struggling through watching SmackDown and Raw. Like, WrestleMania really did kill me a little bit, so I've been fast-forwarding through more wrestling than I do on a typical basis. In that match, I tried giving it a shot, and I was like, nope. I yawned a little bit, and I just fast-forwarded, saw the ending, saw some hands shaking, I was like, yeah, I don't care.
I started playing a video game during that match, and I realized, wow, I'm that bored if I have to start playing a video game. Usually, I'll keep my internet and do something minimal to watch wrestling. But when I start playing a game, I stop watching wrestling.
Exactly. I'm with you.
So that's when I started playing a game. I was like, okay, yep, good stuff. All right. Guess the Wrestler, guys. Again, what we always like to do is to guess the wrestler at the end. It's a little fun thing to tie everything together. It is my turn to have a wrestler. I do have him. Let me just pull him up real quick. Yep, it's a him, so you don't have to ask that girl question.
Shouldn't we consider having, like, three facts to start off with at all times? Like, current, male or female? Actually, if we just gave those as automatics, like, it would make our questions a little bit more fun, I think, moving forward.
Or, but it would be also hard to come with questions. All right, so I'll give you some facts. First of all, it is a guy. Not current.
Okay, that's all I need. All right. Question one. Are they predominantly a WWE, WWF guy? Or is it iffy?
He spent almost the exact same amount of time in all federations.
Oh my.
I would almost go a little bit more WWE, but I would say he's mostly known for WCW.
Wow.
He's been in ECW, WCW, and WWE all around about the same time.
Wow, you have royally mind-fucked me already. Is he a former world champion in any of those three?
Definitely not WWE.
Okay. I'm just already guessing that he was probably a former U.S. champion in WCW and a former world champion in ECW.
He was a tag team champion and a television champion.
In WCW.
And he was a European champion and a hardcore champion in WWE. I'm looking for
nothing
the other
in
one and a tag team champion in ECW.
Oh, God. Wow. All right. All right.
I could give one thing and would give it away, but I'll wait.
Yeah. All right. Is he more known as a tag team wrestler than a singles?
Yes, but he. Okay. Yes, definitely. Tag team is definitely where he's more known, but he had some decent success as a singles. Obviously,
okay.
He's a European champion, television.
God, I'm going to use one of my two guesses right now.
Sure.
That's how bold I'm.
Okay.
Is it Saturn?
Yep, you got it. I was going to go with Mop, but if I had to at the end.
I'm sitting there. I was going to go for Raven until you said he wasn't a former ECW champion. Then once you said television champion, I was like, oh, okay.
You got
so,
it. Harry Saturn. That was my guy.
Honestly, that should have been way harder than three questions.
You,
I kind of got
wrestler.
Lucky there.
I know you're wrestlers. Okay, so.
All right. Well, we made that quick.
Yeah, made it faster so we can get done with it faster. All right, so that's going to do it for us this week. Kent, do you have any special announcements?
No, I'm lazy as fuck, so I'm not doing anything. Actually, I'm going to be gone for the next few days, so I won't be doing ESO. I'm going to be watching a lot of movies. Oh, yeah. Anybody that's interested, I'm doing a Shining blog. I'm going to be posting it May 1st. So between now and May 1st, if you'd be interested in watching The Shining and answering 11 questions, you don't have to answer all of them, just a few if you want, or you can answer all of them, whatever you want. If you'd be interested, contact me at kent@ninedeuce.com or find me on Facebook. All that shit. You know how to get a hold of us by now. Get a hold of me, and I need your email address because I need to contact you back to let you know what the questions are. And hopefully we're going to have a good time. Like, I have a bunch of people that I don't hear from in, like, years came out of the woodwork like, yeah, I'm interested. Okay. So, yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Okay, so, well, for Kent and for the missing Carrie, I'm Russ. And we hope you've been entertained. We will see you guys next week.
Yeah, next week. I hope wrestling gets better next week.
Wasn't bad this week. Let's face it, wasn't bad.
I'm worn out. WrestleMania has worn me out.
All right. For Carrie, I'll say it. Bye, guys.